Welcome to Geopolitical Horizons, the podcast from thegeopolity.com. My name is Adnan and I'm the founder of Geopolity. Exactly 19 years and 9 months after the initial US invasion of Afghanistan, just 2.5 weeks ago, the US installed puppet regime fell. The Taliban entered the country's capital victorious after a long, hard battle against the occupying forces. So in a week and a half, a lot's happened in Afghanistan. We've seen press conferences. We've seen an airport which is getting media attention globally. And we're seeing lots of discussions around the world about refugees, about getting refugees out of the country. So to discuss the situation of Afghanistan with me today, I have my good friend Masihullah Rupawar, who is from Mazar-e-Sharif. Assalamualaikum, Masihullah.
Wa alaikum, Adnan.
So it's good to have you here. There's a lot to discuss today. So let's get straight down to it. You're obviously from Mazar-e-Sharif, which is the north of the country. So it'd be good to know, you know, if you could just sum up, what's the mood in the country at the moment? A lot's happened in the last week and a half. What's the mood currently as you see it?
Yeah, so as we all know, the Taliban took over the country on the 15th of August, which is exactly 11 days. Also, obviously, in 11 days, it's very hard to see major differences, see a big change in the atmosphere. So in the beginning of the offensive to Kabul, there was a period where the government stepped down, fell back, and where even the Afghan police and the military dropped their weapons. So there was a time where there was actually no control of Kabul, and bandits, robberies happened. And at that time, a lot of people actually thought that Afghanistan might fall down into a country of chaos. But now, 11 days later, actually the mood is quite good. You can see some major changes in different areas according to the past government. So for give you an example, to give you an insight, in the past, for example, we had very heavy, very tense traffic jams in Afghanistan. So for a very short distance to drive with your car, you had to take, or it took very long to reach your destination. And the reason for that was because it wasn't because there was an accident or there were construction sites. It was because the Afghan police, the traffic police, they were stopping every car which looked a little rich, which looked a little modern, stopping it and just trying to get some money out of it. And this obviously caused very hard traffic jams, which really made everyone go crazy. So you can see this got relaxed very, very much. So you don't have traffic jams as much as you had them in the past. You don't have these sudden stops from traffic police asking for money, for bribery, obviously, for you to let you pass. You can see a big change when it comes to crime in Afghanistan. Before, a lot of people were afraid to go out with their mobile phone, because there were bandits, gangs who were making a hunt for people with modern mobile phones. They were killing you for mobile phones. So people left the mobile phones at home and went without mobile phones out. Deliberately wore very old, old looking clothes, not to make the impression they are rich, so they can hijack you and ask for kidnap money from your family. So people feel
so Masihullah, are people happy to see the US backed regime go?
Yeah, so when it comes to the people, they obviously, if they see positive changes, they are happy with the change. So with the US backed regime, as you say, so the regime of Ashraf Ghani, there was a lot of corruption going on. There were very little opportunities for you to get economic welfare. And when people see this change, when they see corruption going on, robbery going away, crime going lower, so we had very big land disputes in Afghanistan. People just came and said, this land, which since generations is in the hand of your family, they could take it away, and there was no one to help you here. And even the official government sides, the police, who should be there to help you, they were actually helping the one who took this land from you because he was from a more influential family. So when people see these changes, obviously they get happier, they feel more secure, they feel more secure for their family. So in a way, they are very happy that this corrupt government got away.
So, would you say the Taliban have wide support across Afghanistan?
So definitely the Taliban must have wide support because 20-year fight against the US Army, and not only the US Army, against the NATO, against 30 plus countries, you can't sustain this war. You can't keep this war for 20 years up if you don't have a big support in the population, because you have to hide somewhere, you have to hide your weapons somewhere, you have to get food and everything. And these things you can't do without big support of the Taliban. And people actually think that the Taliban is some force coming from outside of the country, for example, coming from Pakistan or somewhere. But the Taliban are indigenous people who are from the main ethnicity of Afghanistan, which are the Pashtuns. So it's wrong to say that the fight was only carried by the Taliban. It's more accurate to say that what it was a major fight from the whole Pashtun people of Afghanistan, and not only them, they had wide support from other ethnicities like the Uzbeks and the Tajiks, where from where I am.
So I was reading today one of the think tanks in America. They calculated that America spent about 2.3 trillion on Afghanistan. So I suppose my question is, with so much support for the US-backed government, with the amount of money they spent, why was the regime so ineffective for 20 years?
So when America invaded Afghanistan, they found a country which was ruled by warlords, by big tribal men, by politicians which come from different ethnicities. And they said that to rule this country properly, they have to bring a mixture of people which consists of all the different ethnicities in Afghanistan. So you had, so for example, Hamid Karzai, if you look at his appearance, he used to show himself as someone who reflects the whole of Afghanistan. So he had a hat on, which is usually used by or carried by the Tajiks. He wore a coat which was carried by the Pashtuns. So all through his dressing, he tried to reflect all the ethnicities. But the government, the government which the USA brought to power, consisted of warlords which before fought against each other. So when this government was set up, you had a lot of infighting between the government. So you had, like, for example, General Dostum, who was a warlord during the fight against the Taliban, who spent a lot of time in exile. And they saw this opportunity as, or they saw this building of the government from America as an opportunity to enrich themselves. So you had a government consisting of people who were only interested, not in the country, but in their own pockets. So you had very big infighting in the government, very big clashes between politicians of the government, which made the government completely ineffective ruling over the whole country.
So, Monsieur Lau, what about the Afghan army? How comes they collapse so quickly?
So this is something which a lot of people in the world don't really understand. But once they understood the reality of the army, and obviously we know the reality of the army, then they understand how that army, if you want to even call it an army, to be very honest, how it could fall that quickly. So the Americans always proudly say, or in the past proudly now, they're not very proud of the Afghan army anymore. So they always said that they build an army of 300,000 soldiers, and even Donald Trump once praised them and said they are very brave fighters and everything. It was a very good laughter for us. So obviously the Afghan army never ever consisted of 300,000 soldiers. It didn't even reach close 300,000 soldiers. So how does this number 300,000 come up? So the Afghan army was paid by the US government, not by the Afghan government, but by the US government. So you had some very corrupt leaders in the Afghan army who made up names from soldiers, or add up numbers from soldiers which didn't even exist. And the only reason they did it was to get the wages from the Americans and put it in their own pocket. And these were called ghost soldiers, soldiers who only existed on the paper for the leaders to get the money from the Americans and put it in their own pocket, like General Dostum or Muhammad Atanur, the governor of the Balkh province, where I come from, Mazar Sharif. So it never even reached the number of 300,000. That's the first thing. The second is that a lot of Afghani soldiers, their only motivation to join the Afghan military was to have a safe wage. The Afghan military was the work available in Afghanistan, and obviously you join the army to finance and help your family, to have some food at home, to give your children food and everything. So they never had the motivation to really put their life in danger for a government, for such a corrupt government, which they don't even, which doesn't represent themselves. And the third major factor why the Afghan army collapsed so quickly is that a lot of fights the Afghan army did, they had air support by the Americans, and the air support of the Americans was the only factor which really stopped the Taliban offensive. But once this air support was not given by the Americans anymore, they laid the weapons down and they were not ready to fight against the Taliban, because without the air support, everyone knew that they wouldn't stand a chance against the Taliban. Another factor which you are not allowed to forget, they always try to show the picture that the Afghan army fought against the Taliban, but really the Americans built some special units in Afghanistan which were on the front to fight against the Taliban. So you had one special unit called the Khtar Khas, and one complete unit of this special forces was wiped out by the Taliban because they requested support from the Afghan army, and the Afghan army never showed up on the front, never showed up to support this elite unit. And this is why this one whole special unit from the Khtar Khas got wiped out in June. So all these factors show that the Afghan army never was as big, as strong as how the Americans tried to show it. And when it was clear that the air support won't be there anymore, the Taliban also negotiated with ulama in Afghanistan. They negotiated with the major, and there was no reason to fight someone who is from the indigenous people, and to defend a government which is not representative for them. So all this shows that the Afghan army never was really an army, was never this strong as they show it, and never as big as they show it, and never supportive of the government.
Okay, that's an interesting insight. At the moment, it seems Kabul Airport is getting a lot of global media coverage, and the image that you get is that the country's in chaos. So I suppose my question really is what's actually taking place at Kabul Airport, and is what's taking place there representative of the whole country?
So obviously, because not only the USA, but the whole NATO were fighting the Taliban for the last 20 years, not being able to defeat a people who were fighting with weapons they fought the Soviets against. They have to create an image that to wash away their defeat, to save their face. When fleeing the country, not leaving the country, but fleeing the country. Obviously, they want to sell it as a victory. And one of the methods they use is to show that we Afghan people are quite afraid and scared of the Taliban takeover. And this is why the focus of Kabul Airport gives a very strong image to the rest of the world. The Afghanis trying to get on the plane while the plane is taking off, and even seeing people falling off the plane while it's in the air. So how desperate do the people have to be trying to board on a plane which is taking off and falling down from the air? So these are perfect images for the West to show that the Afghani, that we Afghanis are pretty scared and afraid of the Taliban takeover, and wish for the West to stay in the country and protect us from this danger. But I give you a nice fact. So Afghanistan has above 38 million inhabitants. In Kabul, you have 4 million inhabitants. So Kabul only is 10% of the population of whole Afghanistan. And what they show you is the Kabul airport. Why are they not showing any other demonstrations from the rest of the country? For example, from Mazar Sharif, where a lot of Shia are living. Why don't you hear of the Shia, which was, according to the West, suppressed from the Taliban, who are seen as infidels, as people who left Islam? Why don't they show you images from Mazar Sharif or from Herat, for example? It's because there are no demonstrations in these areas. There are no fights or no escapes from these areas. Another example is that, so you know that we passed we are still actually in the month of Muharram. And on the 10th of Ashura, the Shia have some festivals where they mourn and everything. And Anna was talking to one of my friends who is from Herat. And even he told me that since the last 20 years, they could never mourn publicly this much as the last 20 years. They never felt as secure to mourn publicly as Shia in Ashura during the Taliban rule, not fearing of bombings and everything, which happened all the years before. And you can see the Taliban even visiting their mosque, the Shia mosque, and participating on their ceremonies for Ashura. So even the as you could say, the according to the West, the most suppressed minority, the Shia, you don't see any demonstrations there. You don't see any infighting there. So they have to focus on Kabul Airport, which is the only part of Afghanistan which gives you an image of the Afghans being scared and of the Taliban and trying to flee the Taliban. So we should not fall into this trap here and get the image which the West wants to show us by fixing only on Kabul Airport that the Afghanis are scared of the Taliban and everything else. You would see demonstrations everywhere in the country, but there are no demonstrations, and because there are not, they have to focus on Kabul Airport.
So the other thing getting lots of coverage, especially in the Western media, is that girls are being told not to go to school, women are being forced not to go to work. There's been some reports in some Western media about the Taliban going house to house, searching for journalists and, you know, carrying out reprisal attacks. Now, are there any truth to these?
So obviously, these are some ideas which the US and Europe would like to spread everywhere in the country, that the Taliban, which when they talk of the Taliban, they always mean people who show the true image of Islam, which is barbaric, which is from the 4th century, from the old Middle Age and everything. And how they can give this image is by showing that the Taliban don't respect women, they suppress women, sex slaves and everything, which they already try to this image they already try to establish with Islam in general, that Islam suppresses women, Islam is neglecting the rights of women and everything. And they did it with ISIS, the sex slaves and the everything, and now they do it with the Taliban. But also here, so if you see reports from Afghanistan, and it's not like that. So we in Afghanistan, we have a lot of TV channels. We have Tolu News, we have Ariana TV, etc. And these TV channels, which were created after the Americans entered the country and even supported with American aid, they are still functioning. They are still running. These TV channels haven't been shut. And you can see from these TV channels that they visit parts of Afghanistan, for example, Herat, and show that the schools are not being closed, that women still go to school, that there haven't been a closure of schools. And even in my area, Mazar-e Sharif, something like this is not commonly known. So you don't have cases of this. And you don't even have evidence of this. So it is something they try to spread, but the reports and the TV coverage of this American-funded TV channels like Tolu News, they show that the schools are open and everything. And you can even see videos online by women rights activists in Afghanistan, how they're doing demonstrations against the Taliban, and the Taliban protecting them from the Afghan crowd. So you can see a complete different image here than what the West is trying to spread. And even the Taliban are taking sex slaves and everything. There's no evidence for this. So they never have shown a case where this actually happened, and even the Taliban themselves refuted this a lot of time. And we Afghans, we haven't heard of this, else it would have spread under all of us very quickly.
Okay, so we're coming up to nearly 2 weeks now. The Taliban have been in power. What have you seen? It seems from where I'm sitting, which is in the UK, that the Taliban in 2020 is very different. So 2021, the Taliban is very different to the 1990s. They've had press conference. They've had a number of interviews with journalists from the West. They are, in fact, this time they've told women to go to school, to go to work. Even the Afghans that were trying to leave from Kabul airport, they've actually been saying, the Taliban, to them, that they want people who have got expertise and skills to stay to help build the country. So what have you seen from the Taliban for the last 2 weeks, or what would you say seems to be their strategy now going forward?
So you can't forget that the Taliban today is not the Taliban from 20 years ago. So there have been a change in the leading positions. Mullah Omar is no longer. Now you have Abdul Ghani Baradar, and a lot of these the leaders of the Taliban, they actually spent time in prison. So Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar spent nearly 10 years in prison in Pakistan, where he got tortured. Even spent time, some Taliban leaders spent time in Guantanamo. So you have a generation of Taliban leaders who witnessed how it is to lose power, to get evicted of the country, who were in prison, who got tortured and everything. And you have people, especially the fighters, young fighters, who grew up in Afghanistan in the Ashraf Ghani, the Hamid Karzai and the Ashraf Ghani government, and who witnessed all the corruption and everything from the Western-backed government. So you can say that the Taliban learned from its past mistakes, that they tried to really give the image of being a moderate group, of not being the same Taliban like 20 years ago, which is also what Taliban spokesman Zahibullah Mujahid said when he invited, when he hold its first press conference, and he made it clear for everyone that the Taliban now is not the Taliban from 20 years ago. And by this he means that we are more moderate, that we respect the woman's rights now. The woman is allowed to have education, she should have education, she should go to school and everything. And you can see it from the actions. So there haven't been a witch hunt on Afghanis who, most of them, out of desperation, out of trying to finance their families and have something to eat on the table, worked together with the soldiers as translators, as drivers and everything. So especially in my area, Mazar Sharif, so there hasn't been a witch hunt for these. And they even told them that you will get a general amnesty, everyone can stay here, there's no need to flee the country. And yesterday they even announced that they would forgive Ashraf Ghani, who fled with nearly $4 million, that they would even forgive him if he comes back. And even the former president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, and the leader of the Council for Reconciliation between the Taliban, Abdullah Abdullah, they're still in the country. They're still in the country and still negotiating with the Taliban. So when there is a revolution, the first thing the group does is kill all the old people from the old generation. You see it everywhere, but there wasn't that, these things didn't happen. So you can see clearly that they try to give a moderate image of themselves, of learning from its past mistakes. So it remains really to see how, if they can uphold this image, if they can uphold the agreements they made. So we also can't forget that right now we still have a foreign presence in Afghanistan. So really judging the Taliban, we can only do if this foreign presence, which is now concentrated in Kabul airport, 6,000 American soldiers, we can only judge them if they leave, because right now they don't have the full control of the Afghanistan. So only when they leave and they get the full control of the government, then we might be able to see if they really change, if they uphold their words, or if it was all a facade.
Okay, I suppose only time will tell. Well, Masihullah, thank you for your time today. That was a great insight, really, on what's taking place on the ground in Afghanistan.
Thank you for inviting me from to your show.
If you want to learn more about the issues raised today, please check our website, www.geopolity.com, all one word. You can also learn more about other issues by accessing our website, where you'll find comprehensive insights. I'm Adnan, and thanks for listening.